Now, an abundant life, Jesus said, is a full, the fullest, greatest quality of life known to man. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. The greatest quality of life known to man. If you go to a buffet, it's all the food that you care to eat. And after you go three, four, five times, you know, it starts to get kind of full. You know, it doesn't quite taste so good. And then after a few hours, you know, it's time to eat again. Well, Jesus gives full and lasting satisfaction. In fact, he says in John 15, verse 11, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. And so we want to convey that if we really know Jesus and we're following Jesus, that he has really changed our life for the better, and that we have this spiritual joy. We should not convey that grumpiness is next to godliness, or gloominess is next to godliness. Heard the story one time, a song leader, he was looking for somebody to lead the closing prayer, and the brother that was assigned, he was looking at him, and he didn't look like he was too happy to be there. And he let slip out, we asked Brother so-and-so to lead us in a prayer. The story is told Brother C.R. Nickel, who was a gospel preacher of yesteryear, who's a very dapper dresser and very distinguished bearing. And someone said, Brother Nickel, you look like you own the world. And he says, well, my father does. So Christians have really the secret of true and lasting happiness. In fact, that's something that the world is looking for. When we think about the secret of true and lasting happiness, Jesus gives in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. I'm going to read that with you, please, and let's read along together Matthew chapter 5, which Jesus gives the secret of true and lasting happiness. We need to remind ourselves of this. This is a good place maybe to study the Bible with someone to convert them to the gospel. But here Jesus gives the character of the person that is going to be a part of his spiritual kingdom. Jesus, in beginning the Sermon on the Mount, says in verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The reason that they are called the Beatitudes of Jesus is that just simply comes from a Latin word, beatus, that means happy. The word blessed here means, it was used in the original language to mean the transcendent happiness of the God, something that a happiness that was not of this world, the supreme happiness or blessedness. Now, when we think about the English word happiness, what is the root of that word? We say something happened, and that means by chance something happened. It comes, the H-A-P, hap, means chance. Jesus here is saying that everything the world says about happiness, that is, if you have your external circumstances, they just happen to be, your ducks just happen to get in a row, then you can be happy. Everything the world says about happiness is wrong. Jesus says that true and lasting happiness comes in spiritual things and not physical things. In the news, you hear about a person named Anna Nicole Smith who died at age 39, who had a son who was 20 years old that died. He died of a drug overdose. They think it's possible that, you know, she may have died of a drug overdose. Here's a woman who had everything that a lot of people in the world think, oh, this should secure happiness. She had, according to the world, physical looks, money, power, celebrity, status, and certainly wasn't a happy person. Ernest Hemingway, who is a famous American author, was a hedonist. A hedonist believes that the pursuit of pleasure is the highest good in life. Here's a famous person, a famous American writer, who committed suicide. Supposedly he said, "I am empty and dead on the inside." Joe DiMaggio was married to Marilyn Monroe. Marilyn Monroe is still popular in our culture. Joe DiMaggio, and she committed suicide. Joe DiMaggio said she had everything to live on, but nothing to live for. Jesus says that true and lasting spiritual happiness comes from spiritual, not physical things. It's based on inner character, not external circumstance. Because we cannot control our external circumstances. Our external circumstances may change. If our external circumstances change, can I be happy? Jesus says yes. In the Sermon on the Mount, all of these are character traits that anyone can choose to develop. And Jesus says it's what you are and not what you have. You might think, if I just had this particular thing, I could then be happy. Jesus, you look at these character traits, they're all based on spiritual qualities. We must look outside of ourselves to Jesus, not within ourselves. A lot of the self-help books that you find in the bookstore, self-help psychology, basically say you need to look within yourself to find true happiness. And what Jesus is saying is, no, you don't need to look within yourself. You need to look outside of yourself to God and to Jesus Christ to find true and lasting happiness, because only He who made the human heart can satisfy the human heart. And it's based on making the right choices, not impersonal chance. All these qualities that we just read are spiritual qualities of character any of us can choose to develop. Jesus began by saying that those who are blessed are truly happy and are going to be part of God's spiritual kingdom. The kingdom means the rule of God in the human heart, the reign of God. It is those who are poor in spirit. The word there, poor in spirit, there's different words in the New Testament that talk about a sense of lack or being poor. This is a particular word that means to beg. It's a beggar. The root word means to crouch. It's the idea of a beggar who is totally destitute. They realize they have nothing, and if they are going to have anything, it has to come from somebody else. Jesus said, when a person realizes that they are a spiritual beggar, spiritually destitute before God, that is, you're spiritually perceptive, you're in touch with spiritual reality, you then sense your spiritual need. There's a lot of people that think they're good enough. They think they're fine. They don't recognize that without God, they are nothing. Poor in spirit. Theirs are the kingdom of heaven. They're qualified for the kingdom. They are perceptive of their spiritual need. When I was a freshman in Florida College, I was going to drive back home to Tennessee. And as I was driving through South Georgia, I was carrying someone with me. It was one or two people, I don't remember. But we were driving through South Georgia. And I admit, I take responsibility, I wasn't paying attention how fast I was driving. Okay? So I got, the fellow pulled me over, and, son, you're in a heap of trouble, basically. And so I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry, and I'll write a check and pay the fine. Oh, no, we don't take checks. Cash. Okay. So we start looking for all, we could scrape up just enough to pay the fine. Okay. Well, I'm picking up a friend up at Georgia Tech, so surely he'll have some money. College students don't have money, okay? So we get to Georgia Tech, and he had $5 or something. So we get enough money to get to Chattanooga. And so we're in the Waffle House. Ask, can I write you an out-of-town check? No, we don't take out-of-town checks. Okay? And I asked, could I write you a check, please? And no, I don't know. Finally, a policeman said, okay, I'll give you $10, and you can write me a check for that. Well, how do you think that feels when you have to beg people for some money? Before God, we don't even have a check. There's nothing that I can do for God or write God or